Today on The Grave Talks, Pets in the Afterlife, Communicating with the Spirits of Animals, a conversation with Nicole Strickland. Nicole Strickland has been fascinated by the supernatural since childhood. Her extraordinary experiences haven't been just with lost loved ones of the humankind. She has also experienced a connection with her departed feline companions, Max and Kaylee, leaving an indelible mark on her soul. It was so impactful, in fact, that she wrote a book about them, Max and Kaylee, Two Remarkable Felines Forever Imprinted on My Heart. Nicole's experience goes beyond the ordinary, recounting profound spiritual encounters with Max and Kaylee after their transitions over the Rainbow Bridge. Can we really experience a connection in the afterlife with our former pets? Many people have experienced that unbreakable connection with them, a connection that is so strong that it continues after they've left this earth. Their stories transcend the ordinary and remind us that some bonds are truly eternal. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about pets and the afterlife with Nicole Strickland. You were on the show with me a few months back, and we did a great episode. And if people have not listened to it, go back and listen to it. It was about a book that you wrote, The Afterlife Chronicles, Exploring the Connection Between Life, Death, and Beyond. That day, we had an idea to do another episode, and that's what we're doing today. So thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Yeah, that was, I think, in June when we did that.
It was a while back, but it was a great episode. And the afterlife, if you're listening to this show, you more than likely are interested in that topic. I think we all want to know what happens, and we all want to know if we get signs from our loved ones. And we were talking that day about pets. And yes. In the afterlife, and how many people have had experiences after a pet has passed away, thinking they heard the pet, or there's so many stories about that.
Absolutely.
And I am just so fascinated by that. And so you and I are now Facebook friends, and you have recently, you've done several talks on this with Animals in the Afterlife about communicating with spirits of animals. And I wanted to kind of dive into that with you today.
Oh, this is such a great topic. I am so honored that you asked me. There's so much that we can talk about. And it's such a present topic that can reach so many people. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, tell me a little about your background. And how did you even get interested in the studies that you do? Because you're the founder and director of the San Diego Paranormal Research Society. You've done, you're a consultant to the American Spectral Association. Like, how did you even get started in all of this?
A really good question. I'm gonna try to keep it not too long, because I could just go off on tangents. It's one of those aspects that always interested me as a kid, as a child. And I had experiences way back when, we're talking 4 and 5 years old, that I couldn't explain. Now, as I grew older, elementary, middle school, even in high school, did I ever envision myself being a paranormal and afterlife researcher and really involved like I am today in the field? No, I did not. It's just one of those things that just, I guess, happened as it was supposed to. And I've talked about this a lot, about even though I've had many experiences throughout my life, there was one culminating profound one, and that had to do with my maternal grandmother, Helen Lopinto, when I was in college. And she just real quickly, she called me the afternoon before she passed. We had a discussion. She wanted to make sure I was okay, you know, a very grandmotherly action she had when she was alive. And I didn't think, based on that conversation, that, oh my gosh, you know, she's getting close to passing. I didn't think that at all. And she was around 96 years old, but looked much younger. So needless to say, the next day comes in the afternoon, my mom calls me, and I could tell by the tone of her voice that something wasn't right. And so that's when she told me that Helen had passed away. in the early morning hours of October 25th. And so I, of course, was very close with my grandmother, came back out to San Diego. I was in Arizona at the time, attending the University of Arizona. And so I came back out, spent some time with the family. But when I came back out to Tucson, I started having experiences that I didn't have prior to her passing. And at first I thought, well, you know, I'm in an apartment. It's my neighbors making noise. It's this or that. But it started with the doorknobs would move and rattle as if someone was trying to open them. Now, what's interesting is my grandmother every night in her house would go around and make sure the doors were locked. Again, I chalked it up to my neighbors. And then it the following day or so, give or take one or two days, I was sitting on my bed and then felt this disembodied hand caress my face. And it felt comforting. It felt as if it came from someone I knew and loved. And then the third experience, which really took it home for me, was me seeing my grandmother's full-bodied spirit. She looked about 10 or 15 years younger. She had like this halo around her, a very white, bright halo. She didn't say anything. She just stood there, smiled, and then faded. And I thought, gosh, you know, I'm missing her. I'm in active grief now. Am I projecting this? Is this some sort of bereavement hallucination on my part? But as the years passed, I really do think it was a visitation. And I do think that my grandmother perhaps knew before I did how innately intuitive I am, and that I, in a way, was almost destined for this type of work. And my grandmother herself, she was born with, you know, the veil over her head, very intuitive herself. So that experience set it off for me. And so it's just over the last several years, 20 years, give or take, it's just been a progression, and things have unfolded as they are supposed to. And so that's just almost how it happened for me. So,
you know, I think it's interesting because, you know, we talk so much about the spirits of people who have passed and loved ones who have passed. And to me, there's no difference if a loved one passes or my dog. The connection is still that strong.
Absolutely.
And so I definitely believe that when a pet passes, that you could have an experience with that pet. And there are so many stories of people who've had experiences like that. And I have had experiences.
Without a doubt. Even I think it's even possible for many people to have more detailed and more profound experiences with their animals, just because of the fact that an animal is so highly intuitive and that connection is so strong. And even in spirit, it's almost like, you know, with my cats who have passed over, even in spirit, it's almost as if that connection we have is even getting stronger, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that when it comes to animals, I don't know why I think this. I just do. I'm very connected with my animals and always have been since I was very, very little. I was one of those people who wanted all of the animals all of the time.
Oh, me too.
And
me
I'd too. Go to my Aunt Frida's house and it's like, can I see your dog? Hi, Aunt Frida. I'd give her a hug. Can I see your dog?
Likewise.
And I think that animals are more in tune with the universe than we are. I think they understand death in a different way. I think they understand emotions in a different way.
They absolutely do. I completely agree. And, you know, even there's when I did my presentation, I talk about, you know, the question, do animals have souls? And there are some people that believe that they don't. But how could you not believe that? They're more in tune, like you said, to the divine wisdom in each of us. They're more in tune to their innate intuitive nature. So,
because I've always felt with my pets that have passed, like they kind of know, and I don't know how they would know what that is or where they're going, or it's just a different process. It doesn't seem to be as frightening to them as it is to us as humans. And I think that we analyze things differently. Our brains just work differently. And I think an animal just, it's part of it. But I also think they grieve, you know, when one animal passes and you still have the other animal, you know, they were very close. That grieving also, I think, happens with them.
Yeah, I mean, from experience with Aries, at one point I had 5 cats in this house. And so Simba and Merlin, they were brothers but not litter mates. And then I brought in Aries, our cat. That's the cat that we have now. She's going to be 23 years old in March, and she was very close to Simba and Merlin. And when Simba and Merlin passed away about 2 weeks apart, boy, was her grief obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she still does grieve. And I watch her behavior. She often looks in certain areas of the house, and I know she's seeing them. I know that she's connecting with them. It's very intriguing to witness that.
And with your cats, you have written a number of different books, books about the Queen Mary, the one that we discussed about the Afterlife Chronicles, and you wrote one about your cats. What got you to write the book about Max and Kaylee?
Interesting question. It was one of those, it was supposed to be an article, basically, just for myself. I was going to just put it on my website, just, you know, a short, maybe 2,000 word article. But as I started writing it, there was so much I had to share and wanted to share. And before I knew it, it was about 12,000 words, give or take. And I said to myself, well, this is the minimum for an ebook. Let's just turn this into an ebook. And so I had it. It's on my website. You can, on the homepage, you can go down and download it for free. But my friends, even many of my friends, encouraged me, you know, you should publish this. And I said, okay, yeah, I will. You know, and I have it on Amazon as well for like, what is it, 99 cents or whatnot. But it's one of those aspects that just, you know, occurred as it was supposed to be. And it was very cathartic for me to do this. But I wanted to share the profound bond that Kaylee, Max, and I have had and continue to have, but also the many spiritual experiences I've had with both of them. Max passed away in 2016 from cardiomyopathy, and Kaylee, and they were litter mates, by the way. Kaylee passed away December 19th, 2021, 18 and a half years old, and she had diabetes and hyperthyroidism. They found this nodule on her lung, and then, of course, at the end, she had a form of cardiomyopathy as well. But with both of them, the amount of profound spiritual encounters I've had with them, including many dream visitations, are just, it's something I never would have thought. But there's this bond here. And I've loved all my animals, don't get me wrong. I've had so many throughout my life. But there's a very special bond I have with Kaylee and Max. I do believe that the three of us are part of the same soul group. And so maybe that has helped in terms of having more of these dream visitations and these encounters with them. It's just very profound. So that book, I explain all of them. And of course, since publishing it, I've had more. But yeah, it was just supposed to be an article. And I thought, well, gosh, it's 12,000 words now. Let's just turn it into an ebook. So that's what I did.
And you lost Max first?
I did, yes.
So
yeah, Max I lost first.
After you lost Max, were you kind of open to an encounter with Max? Did you expect it, or did it just kind of happen?
I would say that I was open. Absolutely. I tried to tell myself, you know, try not to expect it, because then, you know, the whole bias and power of suggestion. But I had an interesting experience, and I'll share this briefly. And this was before he passed. So like I said, he had a form of cardiomyopathy. And so we had put him on beta blockers, and he was on those for about 4 days. And then one night, as I was laying in bed with him, he just started breathing really fast, and he started screaming. So my mom rushed him and I over to the animal hospital, and they told me, you know, he's either had a reaction to his beta blockers, or he could be going into heart failure. So they took him back, and we were told to go up to the front waiting room area, and we were sitting there. And all of a sudden, and this is a form of synchronicity here, this is where I'm going with this, the song Endless Love started playing on the speakers, just like that. And about maybe 30 to 40 seconds into the song, I could see down the hallway I saw the veterinarian come out. I knew by the look on his face that it was the latter, that it was heart failure. He came out and said, I'm so sorry, Max is in heart failure. We can try a few things, which they did throughout the night. The following day, I had about a 45-minute consultation with the veterinarian, and it was, I just wanted to make sure there wasn't something else I could try. I didn't want to feel guilty without trying something, but they had exhausted all the efforts, and so I had to honor his rite of passage. So I went in with him, very, very, very peaceful passing, but that night before with the Endless Love playing on the speakers, I knew it was synchronous. When you have a synchronistic type moment, you know it. It's a visceral feeling in your heart. It's a visceral feeling in your soul when you have this type of experience. But even after his passing that night, I dreamt of him, and he came to me in a dream, and he looked vibrant again, and he put his arms like all around me. And so so I had it with him, but I had it, and I can share this more later. I've had it more with Kaylee than him, but Kaylee has in a way brought Max with her a few times, and I can get into some of the dream visitations with Kaylee later, but just the synchronicity at the time when Max was passing and even after was just something you couldn't ignore.
And there's something that's so different about a visitation dream than a dream that you saw your pet.
Oh, without a doubt. And you'll know it too.
Yeah.
It's you wake up, at least for me, but you wake up with this utter sense of love and peace. You wake up with this all-knowing sense that it was a dream visitation. You know when you're in the dream visitation that it's a visitation. So there's no doubt out there.
I've had these two strange dreams. So I lost my dog about a year and a half ago. And he was with me for 16 and a half years, which is a long time. So I've had two dreams. And they were both like real life. One I was in my bathroom. The other I was in my kitchen. And Buddy just walked up, just like he would. Like, hey, you in the bathroom? Hey, you in the kitchen? Can I get something? Just like he would. And both times, I turned around in my dream. It scared the shit out of me. And I went, both times, it just came out. I go, Buddy, what are you doing here? And he turned around and left. And then I woke up and I'm like, did I just scare my dog out of a visitation dream? I don't know.
No, you did. That's, but you knew it was, though. See, you knew it was a visitation. It's just this, it's hard to explain unless you have it. That's a unique story.
But it was just so funny because I kind of felt guilty. I'm like, it just surprised me and startled me that in my dream, my reaction was what it would be in life. If I turned around and saw a Buddy, I would be like, what are you doing here? Like,
oh.
You're not.
That's so cute, though.
So I was like, I don't want to scare him out of visitation dreams. It would be kind of nice to have one. I got to get over it myself, I guess.
He'll come back. He's like, oh, yeah, we're going to try this again. You watch.
So I'm assuming you've talked to other people and kind of studied this topic of pets in the afterlife.
Yes, especially more so after. It's about 23. The number is 23 now in terms of the amount of dream visitations I've had with Kaylee, mostly with Kaylee, and then sometimes Max. People may be wondering, well, why is she having more with Kaylee and not Max? I have a theory on that. I think my mom and I talked about this for years, even prior to Kaylee's passing. Kaylee was and is a very, very intelligent cat. I've never had a cat as intelligent as Kaylee. When she'd look at you, she would just look into your soul. There was something very, very, she almost vibrated at a higher frequency, if that makes sense. So I have this theory that when she transitioned and ascended into the afterlife, that I think she has a little bit of a higher rank up there. Mm. I don't know, but just not, maybe not so much rank, but just the intelligence factor
right.
Might be a little bit greater. And that may be what allows her to come through easier than some of my other cats.
Do you think that pets are like people? I think that people also can be at different levels. I think that's why someone like
yes.
you, that veil is thinner between these two worlds. I think that pets can maybe be like that as well.
Oh, I agree. I think that, yeah, that's, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I think that that absolutely applies.
Because I think we've had those pets that come to us that feel like they made it to us. And
yeah,
and it was supposed to happen. Sometimes it seems like they are able to make their way to you because it was supposed to happen that way. Just in, like in life, where like my best friend, I remember meeting him, and the minute I met him, I knew he was going to be the best friend, my best friend for the rest of my life. I knew it. And 20,
you're tapping into your soul.
25 years later, he's still my best friend.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And you know what? You're spot on that. There's no coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I think and believe strongly that every animal that comes to us, it's meant to. And I have a little story about Max and Kaylee with that. So when I was, it was shortly after the 2003 San Diego wildfires. I mean, it was insane here. I was afraid the whole city was going to burn down. But I can't believe it's been 21 years practically or almost since that. But after those fires, I wanted to adopt kittens and I wanted to adopt littermates. That's what I wanted. And so I made a list of the different adoption centers and I went to all of those. There was one that was not on my list, but it was on the way to another center I was going to. And my gut kept saying, stop at the Petco off Marina Boulevard in San Diego. And so my mom was with me and I said, Mom, you know what? I know it's not on the list, but let's just stop and make a quick stop at Petco off Marina Boulevard. I walked in there and right in the center, there were these three-tiered large cages. I hate to use the word cages, but I like to say temporary homes. So there was a tier of three of those. And these two little kittens, about 3 months old, were in there. And I said, it was immediate. I walked up to them. And Kaylee was actually on top of Max. Their names were different. Max was, I believe, Joey, and Kaylee was named Beauty. And so I walked up, and it was Kaylee that was laying on top of Max, and she reached out her paw to me and, again, looked at me as if she was looking through my soul. Mm. And that's when I knew. I said, oh, these are that. This is them. This is it. Mm. So I said, let me fill out an application, and then the people that were working there, they said, I don't want to alarm you, but there is already an application on them. I said, well, that's okay. I'm still going to fill one out. And so I did. And then I went home and cleaned my apartment from top to bottom in anticipation of being chosen. So then after a couple of days, I called to inquire. And I told them, I said, I know there's another applicant out there, but just FYI, clean my apartment just in case. And they said to me on the phone, you did that? That's amazing. You know what? We looked everything over. We feel they're going to be right with you. And that's it. That's how it happened. And I don't know if the other applicants, I guess, lost their cat in the wildfires. I don't know if that maybe was part of the decision of going with me. I don't know. Forget all that. It was destined to be. And that's how it happened.
Have you seen that? I've seen it on Instagram, this video about the cat distribution, the kitten distribution system. What that reminds me of. When you're lucky enough, the universe rewards you with a kitten. And that's how one of my cats came to me.
That's so true.
Just I heard this screeching, screaming. I'm like, is it an animal, a child, a bird? I don't know. And I was walking my dog. And on the way home, I'm hearing it again, and I went to investigate, and it was a little kitten. And almost 6 years later, my kitten is now a full-grown cat. But that day, I feel like the universe sometimes just rewards you with a kitten.
Oh, absolutely. You've been good. Without a doubt. I love it. I love it. It's just there are no coincidences in terms of pets and owners and the bond. It's supposed to be.
When I was reading on your page about you with the animals in the afterlife, and it said that you visited with your cats in astral form, and I'm not even sure what exactly that means. So I wanted you to explain that.
Yeah, I can't say for sure that is what's happening. But shortly after Kaylee transitioned on December 19th, 2021, it was two nights later when I had the first dream visitation with her. Now, that first dream was different than all the others, but I would say the last 20, because I've had 23 total, and for the last
22 of them. I love that you know the number of visitation dreams you've had with your cats. I love that.
I keep notes. And it's so interesting, and I try to explain this in writing, and I'll do my best to explain it now, but for about 22 of these dreams, it occurs in the same environment as I'm actually sleeping. I'm laying on my bed. The lighting is the same, so the lights are off. And in this visitation state, I feel Kaylee come up on the bed. And in this state, I say to myself, okay, it's happening again. She's visiting me. And so I'll feel her walk on the bed. I'll be able to touch her. I'll be able to hold her. I'll be able to look in her eyes. But it's always the same type of dream, same environment as I'm actually sleeping, same ambiance. And it's just this, and sometimes they're shorter and sometimes they're longer. Time is iffy when you're in that state. But when I awake, I can say, okay, well, that seemed shorter and that one seemed longer. But they're, the last few of them are getting a little bit more profound. And so the last one I had with her, she, again, came up on my bed and I was able to feel her and pet her. I was able to, and I was laying down on my back as I always am in these dream visitations. I picked her up and I put her on my chest and she laid down and I could feel her warmth and her purring. And then all of a sudden, my bathroom door would be in front of me as it actually is when I'm awake, if I'm laying in bed. So the bathroom door is in front of me and I see this whitish orb of light. It kind of looked a little jagged on the edges, but about a beach ball sized orb of bright light. Then I saw Kaylee's head prop up, silhouetted in front of it. So she appeared black and she looked toward the light. Then she propped up on all four of her legs and I saw her just jump into that light. And then I woke up. So that was the last one I saw. So when I say astral, and I don't know if this is happening, but when I say astral, I believe that perhaps in that state of sleep, I don't know if it's like a hypnagogic, you know, when you're just falling asleep, I think that could be what it is, or if I'm just about to wake up, but I'm in that state and I think that I'm slightly astrally projecting to almost meet her on that level, but yet she's coming to my level too. So we're in a way meeting in the middle, if that makes sense. So I don't know if it's if you could really classically say an astral projection, but I'm in a different state when I have these dream visitations. And there have been a couple too, one recently where Max and Kaylee both came, but they showed me these two kittens in the dream. And in the dream state, I understood it as, oh, this is what they're going to look like should they reincarnate.
This is
the type of stuff that's happening. And I never would have imagined this type of communication ever with an animal. But here it is. I try not to analyze it too much.
And I think, like with people, who knows? It's all theories. But I've always felt like in the afterlife, there would be no time. So
right. You
could be like, well, my cats passed away 5 or 6 years ago, and why would they still be here? Or my father passed away 25 years ago. How could I still be having this communication with him? Because a day or a year would be nothing if you're in the afterlife.
Right.
So I kind of feel like that with pets as well.
I think so. And some people, I don't know what your thoughts are on like quantum mechanics or quantum physics, but you know, the thought of the past, present, and future infused all in one, perhaps. I don't know if that can maybe explain it, but it's just, and I try to tell myself and my advice for people if they're having these types of profound encounters, try not to analyze it. The brain wants to go there, but try not to. I think what's most important is to experience it and trust what your heart and soul are telling you upon waking up, or even when you're in that state. I mean, I even had one of the first visitations after Kaylee passed. I had a dream. Now, I forgot to mention that Max and Kaylee had a brother. I would have adopted him as well, but apparently he was sick. I don't know where he went. But it was, I think, about the third or fourth dream visitation after Kaylee passed. She showed me in there three kittens, and two of them looked just like Kaylee and Max when they were kittens, and the third one also resembled them. So I knew while I was in that state that Kaylee and Max were showing me their brother and that they were reunited with him, because they all appeared in a row and they were all looking up toward the sky. But it's knowledge inside the dream visitation, not when I wake up and I'm trying to, you know, analyze it and figure it out.
Now, there
if
could,
that makes sense.
And there could be some people listening right now who are like, these girls are crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's fine.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
That's fine.
But yes. When on our other show, Real Ghost Stories Online, and people submit stories, they can call them in, they can write them in. And I cannot tell you how many stories we've had with people who have had similar experiences with their pets. And a real common one, because it's such a recognizable feeling, is when your pet jumps on the bed. So my cats seem to jump on the bed differently. Like I know when it's one versus the other, usually. Sometimes not, but usually I can tell. But there's that, a cat jumping on the bed is very different than your dog jumping on the bed. Or we've had a story a while back about the dog jumped on the bed, and you know how dogs do that, going around in a circle, getting it just right?
Yes.
And they felt all of that happening. They just woke up because it's like, oh, my dog just jumped on the bed. And you don't even remember in that moment that your dog has passed away. You just think that your dog has jumped up on the bed. It's such a recognizable, distinctive feeling. Like, for example, years ago, I had a cat named Rita. She had passed away, and I was in the kitchen making dinner or something. I'm a million miles away, and I always fed her. We had a table in that room, and I always fed her on the table so the dogs wouldn't eat her food, which is most people who have cats and dogs can relate to that, because you have to feed the cats up high. So I had the food on the table, and I heard her jump off, and I said, Rita. And I said, where have you been? And it literally came out of my mouth. That's how real that was. I just heard her jump off, because that's also a very distinctive sound when the cat jumps off of the table onto the floor. And it was so real that I turned around and talked to her out loud.
And you didn't even have to think about that. That was just mm-hmm. instinctive. And that's the thing. I think animals will come to us in the way that they feel we can recognize them the best. But but with you and with many others, it's that instinctive all-knowing. You know, even the clackety-clack of their nails on the kitchen, I hear that all the time. And yeah, you know, some people, like you said, some people are going to hear this and be like, gosh, Nicole is a nutcase.
Carol is crazy. I didn't realize she was quite as crazy as she is.
You know what? That's fine. But this is what's happening in these dream states. And I have to go with what my heart is telling me. Like I said, it's a visceral feeling, whether it's an experience with a departed friend or relative, coworker, or pet. It's this feeling upon waking up and even during that state of just love and peace and stillness and just this feeling that you've touched your soul in a way. It's very difficult to explain, to really get people to understand if they haven't experienced it.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about animals and the afterlife with Nicole Strickland. For more information about Nicole, visit her website at authornicolestrickland.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free to see if you like it. Or you can go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening. Thank you.